So this is Adrian Richards from the Cosmetic Course podcast. I'm going to be talking to Ron Myers again, and in this episode we're going to be talking a little bit about the recent face conference, the upcoming body conference, and we're going to be discussing the VAT issue, which is becoming more and more apparent every day and may affect you. So thanks very much, Ron, for joining me.
Okay.
First of all, Ron, I know you. I went to the Face conference in the summer. It was really well attended. Looked fabulous. Brilliant speakers. So, you know, how did you feel it went?
Yeah, I mean, I think year on year it gets bigger and bigger. We had I think over 400 delegates attend this year, and over 68 international speakers talking about a wide range of different cosmetic, basic, mainly non-surgical treatments for facial rejuvenation. And that's really the focus of the conference, is to look at injectables, peels, cosmeceuticals, radiofrequency, light-based treatments that can all be used from a point of view of facial rejuvenation.
And I would say, you know, anyone listening to this who hasn't been to a face conference, you certainly should go to the next one, at least go to one, because you'd be amazed at the amount of people you see there, the different stands and everything. And I always learn a lot, not just from the lectures actually, but some of the stands, what people are doing. And it's also a great social event, isn't it, Ron?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, they had the social event this year was at the Science Museum, the Flight Gallery, which was very well attended. In fact, I think about 500 people went to that. So there is that whole networking social aspect, which I think is quite nice, especially when, if you're running your own business as well, sometimes it can be a bit lonely, and it can be nice to be able to meet up with other people who are doing what you're doing. And I think if they're not in your locality, people are more likely to be a little bit more open in terms of looking at what they're doing, things that are working for them, things that aren't. So you can learn, I agree with you, as much from some of the delegates and that networking as you can from some of the speakers and the lecturers who, undoubtedly some of them as well, are literally, worldwide key opinion leaders. So you do get some really, really good scientific information about the latest sort of trials and studies, but also practical tips about treatments and also how to deal with problems, which I think is just as important.
And who were the, without sort of, too much favouritism, who were the, the people that, you really rate who came to talk?
I think people like Michael Caine, who's a New York plastic surgeon, who's very well known and is fairly widely published as well in terms of looking at injectables. Derek Jones, Beverly Hills dermatologist. He's again has done an awful lot of work on injectables, and he did a special session with Tim Flynn, who's been every year and is a great speaker as well, on male facial contouring with injectable treatments, which I think again is another area that is becoming more popular and more common as we see more men who want to if you like hold back time coming into clinics. David Goldberg as well is very well known from a laser perspective, and he's published work on many, many different types of lasers and IPL procedures as well. So he always gives a very good lecture and overview. Lots of people there, really. Katrine Dreisigager, I think that's how you pronounce her name, the German.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a German surgeon who did a very good technique looking at using Restylane as well, so there were all sorts of things there. Too many highlights, really.
Yeah.
But there's one session that was particularly interesting that we put together where we looked at all of the hyaluronic acids that were out there in the market that were being actively promoted, of which there are 8, and we looked at the scientific data behind each of the individual products and had a debate. So that was around a 2.5-hour session, which was quite interesting, just to try and look at stripping away the marketing, if you see what I mean, and look more at the science and the scientific differences between the behind the products.
And did that, was there any conclusion? Or
I think it did look at a number of areas where there were, I think, misconceptions about different products. Whether there was any conclusion as such, I think it's always very difficult, especially within a short session like that, to come up with any definitive conclusion about which product you may feel would be the best. But I think overall what it did show is that between the products that are there, I don't think there are any great differences.
No, no.
And so I think preferences come down to either the handling of the product or the perceived performance that people have and the fact they're comfortable with using a particular brand, or could be a pricing element or a support from the company as well, which I think is important when you're using a particular product. If you've got that local support there from a representative or from the company, especially when you're starting out actually as well, versus a brand where maybe they don't have that infrastructure and network there to provide that technical support.
Yeah, so we would all, I mean, our advice to our delegates is generally don't be the first to do anything. If something new comes out, there's a good chance it won't be around in a year. I've had problems with being a particular case where a new filler came out. We injected a journalist, actually, because journalists like having the new treatments. She had a terrible reaction to it. It caused all sorts of problems, and then the filler was withdrawn. So don't be the first one. You know, if it's around in a year later, great. But probably stick with the tried and tested.
I would totally agree with you there. I think if you're going to be more in that sort of entrepreneurial investigative part, it will be good to try and develop that more with a closer association with the company and be involved in the earlier studies.
Yeah.
Rather than, as you say, be the first just commercially to jump onto a new particular brand or treatment.
Because I have heard, Ron, that fillers and things, because they're classified as medical devices over here in the UK, it's much easier to get them on the market here than in the US. Is that the case?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the availability there are hundreds of different products out there, and I think if you go to IMCAS as well in Paris, you will see many, many other brands of both HAs and also other products as well that are promoted in Europe that you won't find in the UK, although you can access them if you want as well. And if you go there, they will sell them to you.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it, because they're CE marked and approved as well. I don't think there would be any major problem with you using them in the UK. But again, I would agree with you. I think it would be unwise to.
Yeah. And we talked about sort of, you know, counterfeit Botox in other episodes. So that's a big issue, you know, so please listen to previous podcasts where Ron and I discussed that. But, you know, really stick to the tried and tested from the major suppliers would be our advice. Was Conrad de Boel there at the face conference?
Indeed, yes. He did a facial contouring workshop using Voluma. And he's a very polished presenter, as I'm sure you know as well. He's very good at, in terms of looking at, I think, you know, the analysis of the face, marking it out, and then showing how you achieve a very nice result with using, you know, a deep volume sort of filler.
And he's using cannulas, I believe. Is that the case, Ron?
He does use, he did show a case with a cannula, yes. So I think that is, I mean, again, different people have different views over whether they use cannulas or needles, but I'm pretty sure he did demonstrate with a cannula.
Yeah, so if you get a chance, he's a great person to, you know, have a look at. And we are going to be running a masterclass later in the year with him, Cosmetic Courses.
Excellent. I don't think you can get anyone better than him.
No. What we're aiming to do, really, is, you know, for our trainers as well, and, you know, also myself and Cosmetic Course delegates, to really get a day with video sort of links and everything, with Conrad really talking to us about the real state-of-the-art techniques, which I think would be useful for everyone.
Absolutely, and his experience as well, we're looking at dealing with problems as well, because I've seen him talk on that, is you know, very, he's got an awful lot of experience looking at some of the problems associated with, I think, especially the products that have been available in more in Europe than they have in the UK. And, you know, I've seen a number of very, quite harrowing, actually, before and after photographs that he's shown of sort of people that, you know, have had problems.
Because it's interestingly, the Americans don't like talking about the complications, do they?
No, but I mean, I think it's a very real thing that I think any practitioner has to deal with, even with an HA as well, a hyaluronic acid product. I think you need to be able to confidently deal with those problems, because if you can't, it can be difficult to find somebody who can.
I 100% agree. You need to, be fully aware of the pros and cons, and how to manage complications. So anyway, anyone listening to this, look out for the, we'll email you all about the masterclass with Conrad de Boulle, and I think it'll be a really great day. Okay, Ron, so moving on to the body conference, tell me what's going on there.
Okay, that's on the 5th and 6th of November. It's going to be held at the Royal Society of Medicine. It'll be the third annual body conference. So really what we're trying to do with this event is to look at anything we don't cover at the FACE conference. So it really looks at body contouring with regards to fat reduction or maybe implants as well, because we're looking at a parallel surgical agenda this year. So we're looking at an agenda that's focused on 2 days more for surgeons, so liposuction and breast surgery really being the mainstay of that. And then from a non-surgical agenda, we'll be looking at non-surgical body contouring methods, so whether that's dietary, whether it's machines such as liposonics or RF, so ultrasound RF combinations, or any other treatment for cellulite. Then we're looking at things like stretch marks, tattoo removal, laser hair removal, and a number of other things that you might deal with that are off the face that come into a medical aesthetic clinic.
So perhaps, great if you are looking to widen the scope of the sort of treatments you offer, or would just like to know more about them, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, there is a market there for body contouring. There's no doubt about that. And I know you're involved in one end of aspect of that with the cosmetic surgery procedures. The non-surgical side has grown tremendously in the last sort of 4 or 5 years. And so although I think it's possibly a more difficult market than the facial rejuvenation marketplace, especially from a non-surgical perspective, because I think, if you're looking at fat reduction, the variability you've got there that you can't control is what people put in their mouths.
Yes.
Yeah. In your clinic. And I think if you're looking at non-surgical treatments, you're really looking at trying to focus on spot fat reduction in certain areas.
Yes.
Whether that is via cryolipolysis, ultrasound, RF, or whatever method. And we could debate whether or not any of those are more effective than another. But the variability is really whether or not people do stick with a good diet and also preferably an exercise program to help enhance results.
Yeah, because I remember hearing this story about Kenny Rogers. I'm not sure if this is true or not, but apparently he had liposuction routinely every year to reverse the year's excesses. But that really isn't what liposuction. Liposuction is really, or any of the liposuction techniques, are more for sort of smaller focal areas, not for people who put on a lot of weight.
It is interesting this, because I've saw someone who presented at a conference recently a case where he took, I think it was something like 7 liters out of someone.
Yeah.
For someone with a very, well over sort of 35, 40 BMI.
Yeah.
So he was really looking at this being a treatment for obesity. And I saw something recently in a journal as well, where somebody was looking at the effect on diabetes with a certain population of people, and look at using liposuction there.
Yeah.
So there are obviously some people out there that are trying to push the boundaries.
Yes.
And possibly looking at either medical reasons for that, in terms of medical justification, I guess, in terms of saying, well, if we suck a lot of fat out, it can help with other health parameters, rather than just the aesthetic sort of side of things. So I don't know. I mean, I think you're always going to get people that are going to be, either ends of the spectrum. But I guess from a surgical perspective, the dangers, obviously, of dealing with bigger people are more complications, I think, in theory.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with this. Now, I think the problem is a lot of the people doing these treatments are not surgeons. So basically, the surgical principles that you're taught as a plastic surgeon are: do not operate on anyone with a BMI of over 30. The complications for any operation, tummy tucks, breast reductions, liposuction, you know, rise exponentially. Anyone with a BMI over 30, they are also increased in anyone with medical conditions like diabetes, and with liposuction in particular, the maximum recommended amount to remove at one sitting, you know, from someone with a BMI under 30 is 5 litres. That is absolutely the maximum. So, you know, if you go against those principles, you are going to get a real problem, and these problems can be massive. You know, you can get necrotizing fasciitis, you know, which, you know, is life-threatening. So,
yes,
you know, really be very, very careful. The other thing with liposuction in particular is you must be very careful on the abdomen, because there was the case of Denise Henry, who was Colin Hendry's wife.
Yes, that's right.
The footballer. And what happened with her is some women, after they've had babies, their rectus abdominis muscles get very lax and they get divarication of the muscles. Now, they can appear like they've got a pot belly, but actually, if you squeeze the fat, there's a very thin layer of fat. What it is the abdominal contents moving forward. Now, in her case, what happened is the surgeon thought it was fat, liposucked it, perforated the abdominal cavity, 27 perforations in her gut. She got septicemia, laparotomies, bowel resections, and eventually, you know, died from complications of it. So, you know, be cautious, obey those principles I said, BMI under 30, fit healthy people, not for overall fat removal, and in particular, you know, if you are thinking about liposuction, please be really, really careful on the abdomen in women. That is my plea.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. And one of the aspects we're also looking at is the nutrition dietary elements as well, because obviously that's something that I think there are obviously diet slimming clinics out there, and there are a whole host of different things that people can utilize if they're trying to, you know, reduce weight. As you know, it's a massive marketplace.
Yeah.
But I think if people are looking more at the the medical advice side of things, then that is, you know, is an area that's also potentially doesn't have, I think, a great support within the medical industry, would you say?
Yeah, I think so.
Looking at using certain, you know, prescription slimming pills, that kind of area. So we've actually got someone called Jeff Bond who's kicking off the conference, who's really specialises in lifestyle anthropology, and he's going to be looking at really what we're designed to eat from a nutritional perspective, and how, we're all basically eating the wrong things, and that's one of the reasons why people's weight is increasing. We've then got...
Also, Ron, there was a report out this morning, I heard it on the radio, that, you know, the rates of cancer are going up significantly and are related to diet and, obesity. So basically, you know, we are eating the wrong stuff. We're not designed to eat what we're eating.
Well, precisely, and I think that's really what he's focusing on, and, you know, I think that's really interesting, just as sort of, especially when, you know, we've got a medical audience here, and when also a lot of, I think a lot of doctors don't have an awful lot of training in nutrition anyway, at medical school.
Yes.
And so, although I think they've got the sort of the basics there, I think in terms of really looking at reinforcing this and looking at sort of, you know, in-depth knowledge and understanding of our dietary habits, what we're putting in our mouth and the consequences of that to our health, I think is just an interesting, you know, sort of kickoff.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other things as well. I think we'll probably have something there looking at intragastric balloons. So, you know, other methods as well to look at dealing with weight loss. And so, you know, you've got that bariatric side of things.
Yes.
Which I guess, you know, and if you're looking at actually the kind of BMI cutoff for that, that's quite an interesting debate as well as a tool, you know, and what, as you say, some people are doing and using liposuction as a tool for weight loss.
Yeah.
About the same area.
Yes.
So, you know, I think there's an awful lot that we can and open up and debate at this type of event, looking at body contouring rather than just looking at procedures per se.
Yes.
We can look at other concepts that, you know, we can debate around managing weight and body contouring.
Yeah.
As a result of that.
Yeah, I think it'll be absolutely fascinating, actually, and very topical. So, you know, look forward to hearing that, Ron.
Okay.
So, again, thanks, Ron, for joining us today. I think we've run out of time, and perhaps in the next episode we could talk a little bit about hair transplantation. I don't know how much you know about that, but it seems very topical with Wayne Rooney and everything. And then, of course, we've got to cover the VAT issue. So thanks for joining me today, Ron. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Adrian. Bye.